Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This week was our theater pick, so we picked the movie John Wick 2, along with Taboo Season 1, Episode 1. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevenson,
Hello. And
Ryan Breston. So here's the description of John Wick 2. After returning to the criminal underworld to repay a debt, John Wick discovers that a large bounty has been put on his life. Probably sounds
John,
like
I don't mean to be that guy, but it's John Wick after 2.
Close enough. Hell,
I wish I could see the look on his face right now.
You got to shave it first.
I unfortunately didn't get to see the movie. An executive decision was made, so I saw another movie.
He got vetoed by his wife.
Pretty much.
That's what I was kind of going to say. You got overruled by Congress.
But I have a feeling that the movie I saw was probably a little bit better. we'll see what they say. So
John can't give a shit.
Here's
the funny thing, dude. I can't imagine the movie you've seen was better.
Well, I did see The Wall with Matt Damon.
Awesome.
So I just want to try to make a guess about this movie since I have no horse in this race. So he goes to a different country. Something happens. Explosions. Shooting. He gets injured. He kills the bad guy at the end, and they leave room open for another movie.
Well, you got the last part right, and explosions, but mostly gunfire.
Well,
but this movie takes place 10 seconds after the first one ends.
So, as far as I can tell, I mean, this really wasn't a bunch of explosions, Ryan. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your rating?
One.
Well, I'm gonna actually go with 4 out of 5 on this one.
Oh, wow!
And I mean, I got my stuff to say, but Ryan.
4.5 initial rating.
Okay.
So before we get into it too much, what did you give the first one? I mean, we haven't really gone over it, going too deep into it, did you like it or did you hate it?
What, the first one?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I don't know if we reviewed it on here at all, but yeah, no, I liked it quite a bit enough that I was looking forward to the second one.
Yeah. So, you know, I actually like the fact that, as Ryan said, this literally like takes place like 10 seconds after the last one ends. And I mean, as far as like the trailers for it, I liked the fact that they really kept what was going to happen in the movie really under wraps, honestly.
Really? So
yeah.
Yeah.
Because the trailer by this made it look like a horrible sequel.
Well, okay.
Actually say this is a really fantastic sequel, honestly. I was surprised.
Yeah, it's for a number of different reasons, and the first one, for folks who haven't seen it, and it basically is, you know, you messed with the wrong guy kind of a movie.
Yeah.
These Russian gangsters accidentally, without knowing it's this particular insane legendary hitman, steal his car and kill his dog.
Yeah,
in the first one.
So he goes on a murderous rampage, and you know, their boss is explained to him, like, oh, you just pissed off the boogeyman.
Yeah.
No. You pissed off the guy that they brought over to kill the fucking boogeyman.
Yeah, basically, you know, and again, just this legendary figure. So after this murderous rampage, this movie starts with another essential murderous rampage. The sort of coming back into the game in the first movie was expanded on in this one, which was really cool because it.
Yeah.
Gave you this look into this crazy network of hitman where apparently 1 out of 4 people that you meet is a hitman.
Pretty much, even the bums.
Right, and there was so many
so it's
fun.
Like all the homeless in Skyrim.
Yeah.
for such a violent, bloody, crazy movie, there was so many fun moments with the sommelier and the tailor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One thing I really wanted to point out. They kind of went above and beyond on the tactics in this movie. I mean, there was some serious operator skills going on in this thing.
Yeah.
I think
Ryan's referring to, and I'm just going to cut John off here because he didn't watch it, the video game sequence where he goes and pretty much starts taking everybody's guns and ammo. Personally, I would have grabbed a few magazines off the bodies as I was taking the gun and leaving the room after I cleared it, but, you know.
So did they do the standard movie cliche of, you know, insta-gib and unlimited ammo?
No.
No, not at all. They were extremely vigilant with bullet count, but, I mean, just the way that he was moving around close quarters with rifles and shotguns and pistols. I think I even saw, like, a one-handed press check in there.
Yeah, you did.
Really, really cool, fun things to watch you don't get to see in movies like this too often.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the reason they did it is because it actually added the story versus the 80s action movies doing that would have just slowed down
the story. Well, here's the interesting thing. This movie was directed by Keanu Reeves' stunt double from The Matrix.
Huh. Really?
Yeah, written by a guy, you know, who they basically talked into writing it for him. Or kind of, you know, touching up the script at least, but it was kind of his sort of pet project with Keanu Reeves. They even brought a little Lawrence Fishburne cameo.
Yeah,
I gotta say, besides John Leguizamo, this doesn't seem to be a cast that I recognize.
Actually, John Leguizamo wasn't in it very long either.
Yeah, a couple of seconds, but you got Ian McShane, the guy from The Wire, whose name I cannot remember at the moment, which is
the
sad.
Guy from The Wire.
Which guy from The Wire?
The Black Lieutenant.
Cassian, however you say his name. That's actually how they. Common? Is that his name?
No. Common was in it also, but not Common.
Yeah. No, it was a different black guy. There was another
one. I'll have to look it up.
I'll be honest. The Wire is one of the TV shows I've been meaning to watch. I just haven't had enough time in my life.
And, you know, I really liked the fact that, as I said, you know, he was picking up guns as he kept on killing more people because he only had seven rounds to start with.
Was that something that actually went through, that continued through the movie, or was it the standard?
No, it was a sequence. It was a section. It was towards the end of the
battle. Well, I meant during the shooting. Was checking the rounds, racking the slide actually proper? Was that stuff that happened through the movie on certain scenes?
Yeah, all throughout the movie, so many little fun little tactical reloads he was doing with shotguns and pistols and things.
Also, I was going to mention, now I haven't seen anybody pretty much do the one or two shell in the shotgun then fire in any film, but I did in Halo because this jackass stuck me on a section of the library on Legendary in Halo, the original one for you kids out there. I thought it was pretty cool that he was doing the tactical reload fire thing real fast.
This is what happens when you get bored.
I
tried to kill him.
Yeah, he wasn't successful.
One of these days he won't be here, you know. I will be.
But did you enjoy the section as the throwback to Enter the Dragon, Ryan, like I did?
Oh, yeah, with the... Oh,
with the mirrors? Oh, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I was so happy with that.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the thing is they still kind of kept it with that serious sort of tone while throwing in all those fun little moments.
Yeah.
You know, they walked this really fine, weird line that you're not used to seeing done so nicely.
Since I haven't seen it, I'm actually reading the quotes, and I wish I had context to it, but without it, it's hilarious. You stab the devil in the back. To him, this isn't vengeance. This is justice. Honestly.
Oh, and he did kill somebody with a pencil again.
This is a
form. Hold on a second. The body count for this movie was 126.
That's it.
Wow.
Because didn't
what do you mean that's it?
Didn't he kill more in the first one? I mean, he killed an entire Russian mob.
It was 77 in the first one.
Oh, wow. But I just got to say, I mean, they did not roll down those stairs properly.
Yeah.
I could have given him tips. That's just not how you go down stairs rolling.
The man, the myth, the legend. John Wick, you're not very good at retiring. I'm working on it.
Yeah. For those of you who want to look it up, there's a great infographic by a Instagram user named George Hatzis, last name Hatzis, that actually is an infographic of all of the kills throughout John Wick Chapter 2.
Huh. All right. How many times has this guy seen it?
Apparently enough to calculate the bullet accuracy at 80.1%.
Wow.
Shots fired 302, total kills 126.
My assumption is he probably watched a few cam copies, because there's no way somebody's paying that many times to see any movie in theater.
Yeah.
Well, if he if it was being circulated for any award buzz, somebody would have got a screener copy or some reviewer would have had a DVD.
That's true.
Yeah, because I don't see anybody, because I'm assuming you had to watch that at least 5 times, and what that with $20 a ticket?
Yeah. But I got to say, though, I mean, like, the first couple Bourne series I enjoyed because of the fact that I was entertained throughout it. I'm actually surprised that I was entertained by the second one.
Now, did you mention the Bourne series? Did this have the interweaving storylines? Because the one thing that I was amazed by the Bourne, they had this amazing ability to interweave the story. Like, in the second one, it would do this and tie in with the first one.
Well, that's kind of what they were doing in this when they went into a lot of kind of showing the behind the scenes of the life that John Wick previously lived, because he stepped back into the world for a time because of a marker. He had a marker he had to fulfill.
Now, but there's also not much to tie in with much. This is a very straightforward story.
Yeah.
Now, with the parts there was, did it do a good job tied in? Or is it just kind of loosely just like, here, we're going to throw this in?
Well, that's the thing is everything about this movie, for what it is, was freaking perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, damn near.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I was thoroughly enjoyed, I thoroughly enjoyed the film. I mean, I'm going to stick with a 4 just because, I mean, there was a lot of fun moments, but I think that, you know, I don't know.
So what to
you... I don't know, I'm not sure if I want to stick with a 4.
What to you would have made it give you the 4.5 or the 5? What to you was the missing piece or the thing they should have done differently?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think about. I mean, there really wasn't anything that detracted from points.
I'll tell you what it was for me, and tell me if you agree. This is not necessarily a universally appealing movie. You know what I mean? It's a very specific audience that they're aiming for. It was going to be a direct-to-DVD movie until the fans actually came out and said, you better give this a theatrical release.
It's like Snakes on a Plane.
Again, it's a pretty narrow audience. Not going to be up for an Oscar no matter how good it is.
You think this really has that narrow of an audience, being everybody pretty much it's basically an 80s...
It's a guy 80s... running around shooting 126 people.
Well, I would say it's... By watching the first one, I'd say it's an 80s action movie with a little bit more story attached.
But that's the thing. It's not Godfather, where a lot of people died, but for this, you know, overall arcing crazy story. It's you pissed off the wrong dude, and he's coming after you.
So it's basically Die Hard.
I finally figured out where my 0.5 is having issues going up to 4.5 or a 5 is the fact that, I mean, there was a few sequences where he was fighting with a gun in his hand, and it kind of made me think of Equilibrium
a little bit,
and that kind of was like one of those things that it kind of took me out of it a little bit. I understand the close quarter combat with a weapon, but and then the other one was when they were walking through the subway station and they were shooting at each other back and forth. It just kind of bothered me that these are two professional killers that aren't leading the targets properly and just shooting off rounds indiscriminately in a public area. And the fact that, I mean, they weren't fully concealing their weapons and nobody was running around screaming. This... And then when the people were getting off the train after Keanu Reeves killed those people on the subway platform, nobody was flipping out about that.
Now, was this in another country or was this the
States? This was in New York. He went back to New York.
Yeah.
Wasn't showing reality to me.
This was a very altered... I mean, the fact that there was no cops in the movie whatsoever. Yeah.
So pretty much to make
it... Well, there was police sirens when he was fighting out front of the Covenant area, or the Continental.
So pretty much to make it better, it would need a little bit more realism attached.
Well, no,
realism far as the cops and crowd reactions.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Not realism far as, you know, bullet actors.
I mean, there was a few bystanders when he's fighting the people in pretty much the strip mall section of the subway thing, and... I mean, there was people, just bystanders there. I mean, who's not on the phone calling the cops saying we got shit going on here, guys?
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Is there a movie you'd be interested in us to watch or a TV show? Let us know. You can also catch us now on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and more.
We didn't do our follow-up rating.
So?
I think I got on those, I got to stick with a 4. Ryan?
Yeah, you know, a 4 out of 5 for pretty much the same reasons, yeah. And the only reason it's not a 5 is because it's not something I could recommend to everybody.
See, okay. Technically, he didn't give his, you give yours.
Well, I said I wasn't going to go up, but I didn't give final rating. Anyways, Taboo.
We're doing Taboo, and according to everybody's favorite movie news source, Taboo is about adventurer James Keziah Delaney builds his own shipping empire in the early 1800s. And I completely forgot this was Tom Hardy.
Yes.
I love the fact he has the ability to disappear from in his roles, minus Bane. Part of this movie, I was TV shows expecting, you know, just to be an early 1800s movie, shenanigans happen. And then you throw in, like, this random black body guy just standing up and, the minor witchcraft scenes and... For a BBC show, this really surprised me on how dark this is and how really interested I am in this movie, this TV show.
You know, I came across this one. I actually saw it when I was the beginning of the year when I was out in Hawaii. I saw it on a commercial, and I'm like, I watched the trailer.
Were you on the yacht?
No. And that's great. So I saw the trailer for it. I'm like, you know, that looks like an interesting show. It's one that I might do for the movie show. I was pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed this TV show. And the really intriguing thing that sealed the deal that I was actually going to give the show a chance was Tom Hardy, because I'm a big fan of Tom Hardy, except for his Bane role in Batman. That wasn't – it was okay. But, yeah, this TV show, like John is saying, it's a really dark show.
This has the feel to me, and I'm loving the fact this is becoming a trend in TV shows. This has a bigger feel of a movie than anything. I mean, if you look at the cinematography, the environment they created, the people and the actors and the way they're acting.
And the costume. I was actually really surprised by how accurate the costumes were for this time period, because it takes place in 1814. And, you know, usually I don't get surprised by, you know, the costumes that they're wearing, but... It was actually a surprise at how well they did with that. They put some work into the costumes, which is kind of crazy for a TV show.
And I love the way they introduce his character. So basically what happened, there was a funeral, his dad died, and really in the first beginning, it really kind of focused on on his sister.
Yeah.
He comes walking down a church aisle, and everybody's like,
and the fact that he put the coins in there from his father's dead body.
Yeah.
I like that.
They did kind of the, you know, paying the gatekeeper,
yeah.
or excuse me, the boatman bit, you know, where you put the pennies on the eyes. And I thought that was a classy touch to show how little the dude actually cared. And what was that?
I was just going to launch into how into this bloody show I was. I was literally watching it before we started this thing. And, I didn't even know it was Tom Hardy. I basically was introduced to it with the credits, you know, and was sort of immediately hooked. I mean, here's the thing is, I would have been in if I just knew, oh, this guy is going after the East India Trading Company, because talk about some OG gangsters.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys don't know, if you don't know anything about them, looking up, usually American history talks a little bit about them.
Interesting thing to know about the East India Trading Company, they had a monopoly when it came to the trade routes for India, the entire country of India, before the British government owned land there. They were pretty much like a corporation who owned land there and kind of ran it with a private military. It was insane. But so for one guy to go after it, I'm in, you know what I mean? Especially Tom Hardy. But then this supernatural element sort of kind of creeps into it with these little shades. And naturally that would kind of turn me off. But the tone that they were sort of setting with it and the context that they were giving it was kind of interesting.
I love.
So it did turn me off at all. You know,
I love the touch they had with the his sister writing a beginning letter, kind of behest of her husband, you know, blah blah blah, and then you had her write a second letter at the end of the show, which was speaking what she really wanted to say. I was like, that's a really interesting touch, very highlighting what's this dark and mysterious mystery type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite part and the thing that I think might get me coming back, the one line when he was telling his I guess his ex-servant friend at his house, he's like, don't talk sense to me, because with you I might listen, and I plan on doing something very stupid or very foolish or what have you.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to go in and essentially start a war with East India Trading Company.
Yeah.
I would say my other favorite part was, I thought you were dead. They buried me in a shallow grave. I crawled my way back up. It's like, what great, and that's up at the beginning of the TV show. That's an amazing way to set a tone of a show. Was basically showing.
I really enjoyed Tom Hardy's character in this one.
Yeah, yes. It seems really nuanced, and it's interesting that they're setting him up to be an obvious protagonist, like this obvious hero of the story, but he has got some darkness.
I don't know if you'd call him if he's going to be the hero character, or just the fact that everybody he's going against is more screwed up than he is.
I can tell you, that's the thing, is I can tell you right now that they are going to play East India Trading Company as the absolute villain. And he is the anti-hero, the guy who's willing to do what's necessary.
So did we do Lawless for the show yet?
Not that I remember.
I think we have done it. Yeah.
I think we have. That's another Tom Hardy one that people that may not know kind of Tom Hardy's acting ability outside of Bane on Batman, which surprisingly a lot of people only know him from that. Lawless is another great one. I mean, it's got Shia LaBeoufy in it, and I mean, that's not the best thing to say, but you know, Tom Hardy in that one is fantastic as well.
Well, I mean, like John said, man, this guy sinks into a role like somebody with his notoriety rarely does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to say, I don't think this character, at least his character, changes so much from kind of his normal roles, but I think what it is the environment they set it in really helped him. Because he plays a guy who obviously has darkness to him. He's a little bit of a badass, or he just doesn't give a shit. Like, there's nothing you could do that would really piss him off that he wouldn't pay you back for.
Yeah, like how he dealt with the whorehouse.
How much money you make? I'll give you this. I give you, insert time here. Get out. I don't care.
2 weeks or 20 days?
I think there's even a testament to his acting ability that all of his characters are kind of sort of similar archetypes, but so unique.
Oh yeah.
You know, even if it's just sort of the subtle voice change, which in the beginning I'm thinking like, oh no, he's going to be just unintelligible with the way he's talking. And he kind of settled into it. So I was okay.
Yeah.
And I do like the way they kind of goofed up his face enough to show that, you know, cause usually when you have people who are adventurers who have gone all over the world, usually they're these pretty boys and it looks like he's pinned through the muck.
Think he had a backpacking through Europe type of adventure.
Well, I mean, he was part of the military under the High Sparrow guy, which is from Game of Thrones. People might not recognize that, but I can't think of his name right now, but he was played the High Sparrow in Game of Thrones. Anyway. That guy, when he's, you know, he threatens back to the guy, I know what you're capable of because I've done it for you.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
that was pretty good.
That was a good one to come back with somebody who's trying to intimidate you. I actually did the dirty work that you weren't doing.
And so next week is my pick, and I'm picking a movie that I haven't watched in a while, and this is going to be a fun movie to make fun of because guaranteed that's going to happen.
So it's going to suck. That's what you're telling me.
Maybe. Since I can't find the one I really wanted to, I want you to set the Wayback Machine to 1979, one of Disney's biggest failures of all time, The Black Hole.
Oh.
The hell?
You've never heard of it?
No.
Well, welcome to Disney's Black Hole.
Okay, and do you have a TV show? Or?
I do not. I was going to see if you had one.
I do. I have one called True Detective, which was a ABC, or no, we don't do Alphabet Channel, HBO TV show with Vince Vaughn and Woody Harrelson and Colin Farrell.
Ooh. So was that season two?
We're doing season one. Yeah, there are two seasons of this. We're doing season one, episode one, just to...
Okay, yeah, the True Detective, it's an anthology type of show, similar to American Horror Stories, where the seasons don't have anything to do with each other.
I'm loving that trend.
Yeah, me too.
I am too, man. It's interesting. You know, it refreshes a show. Fargo, I think, was doing that also.
Yeah, it is. I haven't watched Fargo yet.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't able to give it a rating. James gave it a 4 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Next week, we're doing Disney's Black Hole. And
True Detective, Episode 1, Season 1.
And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. I'm gonna go to bed.